Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Voskan. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Voskan provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, Blueberry, and now on Stitcher Radio. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, is that a little bit of Christmas in April? No, it's already May. May Day! Yes, and this is Father Voskan welcoming you to the May Day edition of The Next Step. It is episode number 308. And having nothing to do with communists or any working party, actually, we are just partying. We are the party. I'll explain in a minute. This is a podcast about life and love, about spirituality, about the next step in Armadoxy. And if you're ready, I know I am, let's take the next step. Well, good morning to you. I am coming to you from beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, and that is the party connection that I was talking about you. But no party this morning. It is a beautiful morning. Well, I shouldn't say that. It is a beautiful party. I'm looking out my window from my hotel room. We're on the 21st floor. Yes! Isn't that beautiful? You're overlooking the desert. I love it. I love it. And yes, it's not Arizona, but it comes pretty close. You're seeing that party, the union of the sky and the earth. Beautiful, beautiful sunrise and beautiful tones out there in the mountain. And just great to be here with you. I'm going to be sharing a few things. I happen to be in Las Vegas for the annual Diocesan Assembly. Now, what this means is that all the churches in the Western United States, including a parish that's here in Las Vegas, Nevada, yes, an Armenian church here in Las Vegas, Nevada, is hosting this year's event. So all of the churches from the Western United States, they are here. And today begins a series of meetings talking about how to improve our work in bringing God's kingdom to the people. Okay, I know you're saying, wait. Are you talking about the Armenian church? Yes, the God's kingdom to the people. I mean, shouldn't that be... Think about it for a moment, okay? A bunch of Armenian churches, bunch of churches, Christian churches getting together and having an assembly. What should be the focus? What should be the topic of conversation? How to do your work properly. And what's your work? Ushering in God's kingdom. It's basically the work that the church has done for the last 2,000 years. It's the reason why Jesus Christ came, was to make God's kingdom accessible to all. So shouldn't you be continuing the work of Christ? Okay. Let's hold off right now. Okay, I have to apologize about any sound quality issues. Ken is not with me. If you've been listening to Anush's Inside the Pomegranate, you know we had a little bit of shakeup over here at Epostle Studios. And she got Sinelling helping out with her show. With my show today, I'm going to be engineering myself. And I hope to get Ken back on contract next week. He just couldn't make it out to Las Vegas with us today. So I am here bringing you this show solo, and we're going to be touching up with Susie remotely. She'll be producing this remotely, and Ken, I hope, will do the final mix before we broadcast. But it's just a beautiful morning today, and I wanted to share some ideas with you, what I'm doing over here and what happens, what does a priest do in a place called Las Vegas. And be honest with you, it's kind of weird, because I was walking around the hotel lobby last night. We were walking around. There was four of us coming in from Glendale, my wife Susan and two of our delegates, Sako and Hripsig, and we're walking around the casino, and you keep running into the priests, and you run into the delegates from other churches, and hello, how are you? And there's this awkwardness, you know, like, what are you doing in the casino, you know? And like, what are you, like, everybody wants to check out. Is it okay to be here, you know? So we'll talk a little bit about that, too. Is it okay to be in a casino, huh? I know, there's some fundamental groups that might have a problem with us being here. But you know what? It's not even an issue. Isn't that kind of a non-issue when you're talking about the real work that you're doing? Okay, hold off. Real work. Okay, I know. I'm using a lot of loaded terms. But this is where I'm going to start off with, okay? This morning, as I'm getting ready to do this podcast and get it out, because I've got a full day of meetings, and I said, I've got to get this out, get it in the hands of Susie. Let me make my coffee, okay? Now, check this out. I go into, you know, the little hotel rooms have these little coffee makers, okay? A beautiful coffee maker. You put in a glass of water, and then they have this little packet. Let me see if I can get some rumbling over here so you could get the idea of what I'm doing over here, okay? The packet says Café Valet, Estate Blend. Estate Blend. Doesn't that sound good? Now, you read on, and what does it say? Estate Blend, a blend of Rainforest Alliance certified. Okay, let's figure this out, okay? Now it says Rainforest Alliance certified right on this package of coffee. Now I want to express to you how this coffee is packaged, okay? There's this plastic wrap around an inside hard plastic. It's like a small little rectangle made out of hard plastic. And inside of that hard plastic is a paper bag filled with coffee. Okay, so you've got this system of outside plastic wrap, hard plastic, and a paper bag enveloping the coffee. And all of this is, by the way, disposable. Okay, so you're going to toss it in a minute. What's important is to let the hot water go through, make your coffee, drink it, and then dispose of all the evidence that's left. And basically, you're going to be putting into the trash a piece of plastic wrap, a piece of hard plastic, some paper, and dispose of it. And now, what did they say over here? It says Rainforest Alliance certified, and there's a small TM next to these words, meaning that they have trademarked this beautiful process over here. And then you turn it around and it says, this product is covered by one or more of U.S. patents. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 patents, Canadian patents, one Canadian patent, and U.S. design patents, 1, 2, 3 patents, okay? So they've got these patents for this Rainforest Alliance certified coffee. Now, I'm making this coffee up on the news. CNN is on the TV screen. What's the lead story today? They're talking about Benghazi, about some of the information that didn't get out to the people. Information that was supposed to get out to the people. The government, namely the White House, had figured out a way to protect the people, okay? Using the words, protect the people. The White House had basically withheld information, had lied about a few things so that people didn't need to understand or know all about what's going on in Benghazi. And then you've got this priest of the Armenian Church who wants to get this news out about what the church should be, and he's confounded. Because basically what we're doing is we don't need to get all the information out to the people. We're not talking about the kingdom of God, right, in the church?
Are we talking about it? Where is the kingdom of God?
Are we talking about the accessibility? No, we're talking about, well, making this structure. And basically all organizations, religious, secular, whatever they may be, political, all organizations have as their top goal what? What is the top goal of any organization? Well, think about it for yourself. Think about it for your organization or your family. What is the top goal? Self-preservation, right? I mean, isn't this very Darwinian? Survival of the species? Okay, you want to continue your organization. Self-preservation. Continuity. Any organization, any company. That's their top goal. Okay, I don't know how many of you here in America, especially here in the Los Angeles, Southern California area, the Clippers fiasco. You know, they've been talking about, like, the owner who's made some prejudiced comments out there. And everybody got all upset, and how should you do it? And doesn't he have a right to free speech? Well, no, at certain points, you have to think about the organization and how to preserve that organization. And what's best for that organization, because that's what you're called to do as governing bodies of that organization, in the same way with the church. So basically, what happens in the church life is that you've been called to this very sacred duty, and you're being confounded because as being part of that sacred duty is you're in a leadership role, and the sacred duty is not to promote the goals of the church, but rather self-preservation. Make sure that the church itself, the infrastructure itself, is preserved. And this is a difficult balance. People may have a hard time with this, but this is really what the reality is. Been through 31 of these parish assemblies, diocesan assemblies, and I got to tell you, each one of them is a very difficult moment for me, because it's just like this coffee wrap, okay? On the outside, and all the things that they do, they tell you, they give you these beautiful names, these beautiful words, Rainforest Alliance Certified, and you say, oh yeah, that is fantastic. I am drinking like coffee that is Rainforest Alliance Certified. I go to a church that is apostolic, that belongs to Jesus Christ's apostles. I go to a church that has Nersesnor Ali and St. Gregory the Illuminator. I go to a church that is from the time of Jesus Christ. And this is beautiful. But then you open up the package and then you see that most of this Rainforest Alliance Certified is being thrown away, is being tossed away. So you're having a hard time reconciling everything, okay? And when it comes down to it, I know what I've been into for the last 31 years is trying to reconcile the packaging with what's inside. That's how simple it is. Reconciling the package with what's inside the package and making sure that if it says Rainforest is certified, that we are doing something for the rainforest and not just tossing it out into the trash can. The same way, if this is the Church of Jesus Christ, making sure that Christ's mission is being promoted and we're just not labeling something just for the sake of it. And so when CNN reports about what's going on in Benghazi and what's happening and everything, I want to believe that at the church level, we should hold ourselves to a higher standard. Is that okay? Is that acceptable? Or am I just being too idealistic at this time? I'll be honest, I know I'm being too idealistic. I think there's a lot of priests who get into this thinking that there is the ideals. You're going to be going out there and you're going to be helping people. You're going to be giving of yourself, giving of your life to people for the promotion of God's kingdom so that you could spread a little bit of love. You could bring some happiness into the world. And then you get confounded when you realize that the packaging is different from what's inside. When you realize that you want to be truthful and you want to give out these answers, that you don't want to be in this Benghazi situation. You're not a White House. You're not a politician. You just really want to do the work. You're not out there trying to fool people. But because of the structure, because in the way in which it's being presented to you, the structure itself is is just not conducive to bringing that truth out. And this is a big, big problem with any organization, especially with the church. Okay, it has to exist within it doesn't exist in a vacuum. It exists within a structure, within an infrastructure. And Jesus Christ, when he established his church, he said that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So by saying that, he's saying that there is an institution, that there is something there. Okay, it's not just his words. So it's a very delicate balance. And it's really up to us, members of the church, checking on ourselves, to put ourselves in constant check. Okay? This is what we do here on The Next Step. This is what I've been doing all my life. This is what I've been doing for the last 6-7 years through The Next Step. If you listen to every episode, it's about this checking process. How do we check ourselves? So making sure that at the end of the day, we can say that we have a church that is doing the work of Christ. And okay, yes, there is a trade-off. We do have to have some structure. But making sure that there is a percentage split so that we're not spending, you know, 90% of our time securing the infrastructure and 10% of our time doing the mission, but rather just the other way around. Can we spend 70, 80, 90% of our time doing the mission, and then, okay, the necessary evil, let's give 20% of our time to making sure that the infrastructure, the church itself, is working. And this is really the biggest challenge that we all have as Christians, especially this is really the challenge that I'm calling listeners to, the challenge of Armadoxy. Can we strip away some of the extra baggage and understand that there is a pure message over here that belongs to Christ, and Christ's message is one of love. This thought came to me the other day. Actually, you know what? I'm going to leave it for you right after the song of the day, okay? Let me go to the song of the day, and then I'll be back. I've got a kind of an interesting idea for you I want to share with you.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Oh, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. And there are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little love. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Love, we don't need another meadow. There are cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow. And there are sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. Won't you listen, Lord? If you wanna know.
Yeah.
over just for
all the world needs, right? That is Dionne Warwick. What the world needs now. I will definitely have a link on our show notes today so you could check out not only this song but all of her wonderful songs. Beautiful, beautiful voice. Didn't she do the San Jose song? Yes. Do you know the way to San Jose? Anyway, wonderful, beautiful voice. And what a message, huh? How simple. Do we need to complicate it? Do we need to complicate what the world needs now is love? Well, you get complicated with how do you deliver that love? How do you promote it? And then you also complicate it with people trying to impose different understandings of love. Yes. I know. It gets complicated. Okay. Anyway, so we'll start off with just a very simple thing. What the world needs now is love. Okay. That's what the church should be doing, right? That's what Jesus said. By this they will know that you are my disciples. Okay, I told you before we went to the song that I had a new idea, and I want to share this with you. This is brand new. This came to me last week. Sunday, the gospel reading for New Sunday, the Sunday after Easter, comes to us from the Gospel of St. John. It is the opening words. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. One of my treasured passages, treasured in the sense that to me it is the foundation of everything that I believe. It is the foundation of this world. It is the foundation and the premise on which all of our faith is established. You know, if love comes from God, if love is ultimately the force of the universe, then what are we playing around with? What else is there? And Christ is the manifestation of that love. And so it says, and the Word became flesh. That's exactly what it means. So this eternal love, this eternal God, this universe, and this power out there took form. And in Christ, we see that form. Okay, so what else do we need? What else do we need to convince us? Okay, so anyway, it is a very special passage for me. In fact, right after my ordination, it always reminds me of just moments after I was ordained. The Archbishop gave his final blessing to the people, and he asked the people to come up, and they paid their reverence to the consecrated hands of the new priest. And as people came up to greet me, I was in complete meditation with this passage. So they opened up the scriptures in front of me, and I'm reading this as people are greeting me. So it's a beautifully, it's poetic in the Armenian language, in the classical Armenian language. And it was interesting because last Saturday night I officiated at the godfather of my ordination 30 years ago, his daughter's wedding. So it was kind of like I was in that kind of mood, and then I get to church, and of course this is the passage for New Sunday, and it was where my preaching was going to go, and I listened to a very important passage in there that really I think I had dismissed up until now, and this is what I wanted to share with you. It comes to us from the same passage, in the beginning was the Word. This is John chapter 1, okay? And, well, let me read it to you. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You see what I mean? The foundation, right? What's in the beginning? Light. I mean, even if you go with the traditional, the six-day creation story, what's that first day, right? Let there be light. This is pre-sun, you know. Remember, I think it's the third or fourth day in the creation myth that God says, let there be the sun and the stars and everything. So before there was that, what was there? There was light. Let there be light. And what does it say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is the light of all mankind. So this light is not really quantified in scientific terms. It's really, it's something beyond. It's spiritual, it's supernatural. There was a man from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Talking about John the Baptist, the forerunner. The true light that gives light to everyone has come into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made, and though the world was made through him, the world did not receive him, did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, now listen to this. This is the part that caught my attention, okay? To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born of, not of natural descent, nor of human decision, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, what got me is that name issue, okay? I was just listening. The deacon was reading it in church, and of course, my sermon was geared in a different direction. So I haven't really talked about this till today, and you're getting the first dose of it. You know, there's always this issue. You've got to believe in Jesus' name, and then what do you get? You get eternal life. What do you get? Believe in Jesus' name. What does it say here in Scripture? You have the right to become children of God. Think about this for a moment. His name. Believe in his name. Believe that Jesus Christ. Believe that Jesus Christ is God. Why is this so critical? Maybe it's not. And that's what I was thinking about the other day. Maybe Jesus throws this out. God throws this out. Because it is not such a big deal. Going to heaven. Living for eternity. God has already paid the price for you. He already loves you. He cares for you. What does he care about right now? What is the underlying message of all of Scripture? Of all religions, Christian or not? It's how we get along with one another. And is it possible, just possible, that this idea of believing in the name, throwing it out like that, is done with the intention that, okay, it's easy. Do it. I believe in Jesus. Okay, I go to heaven. All right, we're done with that. Been there, done that. Now, focus in on what's important. It's not about eternity. It's about right now. Eternity is already yours. You are already my children, says God. You're already mine. I love you. I care about you. But what I really care about is how you get along with one another. What I really care about is how you deal with one another. And this idea, I know I'm going to be developing this soon because it just hit me. The ease at which people want to believe that, you say, I believe in Jesus and you're guaranteed a spot in heaven. You know, it's kind of one of those weird things, right? I believe in Jesus, but I could do whatever I want and I'm guaranteed a spot in heaven. I'm guaranteed eternity. I don't think it's meant to be sold to us in that way. I think we've packaged it that way. I think really what Christ is saying is, okay, you want eternity, it's yours already. Believe in me. Eternity's there. Now, believe in the mission. Believe in what I have to offer you, and that is love. Get out there and love people. Help people. Because really, think about it. Somebody who's going to sit there and say, I believe in Jesus, and therefore I'm going to eternity. What is he really saying? He's saying that eternal life is important to me. My salvation is important to me. And my. What happens? What's the underlying motivation? Is it not selfishness? Of course it is. I want the best for me, best for my family. There's a selfishness in that. But how about if Christ says, I guarantee you that. Don't worry about that. What I need you to do is not be selfish. Don't worry about where you're going because I've already paid the price. I've already dropped the blood on Calvary. I've already dropped the blood on the cross. I've already guaranteed you a spot. Now what I need you to do is to get out there and do the work. In other words, take some time right now to reach out to people, to love people, to help people. And get your mind off of yourself. Where am I going? What's going on with me? Am I guaranteed a place? Get your mind off of yourself and start thinking about others. Is it just possible? Is it just possible that this is how Christ challenges us? I think it is. I think there's a new message here. I think there's a new message of understanding ourselves inside the kingdom. And this all comes together as I'm getting ready to go to a meeting. I'm going to be going to a meeting where, unfortunately, the talk of the day is going to be about infrastructure, about making sure that the walls are up, making sure that the plans are up, okay? Building churches. It's important. Need to build a building, right? Where people can come, where they can congregate. Yes, even in Scripture, Jesus went to certain holy shrines. He went to the temple. It was important. Those shrines are important. And to build those, you need money. Okay, how do you raise the money? Well, that's important too. You need an infrastructure to do that, right? You need your committees. You need your organizations. You need means by which you take from the rich and give to the poor. Yes, the Robin Hoods. We need Robin Hoods in the church. That's what we do. And so we sit around, we talk about these things. And unfortunately, we forget that there's an intention. There's a reason why you want to build that church. There's a reason why you need to build the infrastructures. And it's not just about building buildings. It's talking about very simple things. How about clergy? How do you get your source of people? In this materialistic world where everything is about materialism, everything is about getting ahead in life, how do you inspire a new generation of youth, a new generation of people to take the ministry seriously to the point that they give their lives to it? Okay, now listen to this for a moment, okay? It's very difficult balance. Again, well, one of the ways that you could inspire him is you could compete. You could compete with all the other professions, okay? We know that the law profession has a yield, okay? You dedicate your life, you put in 8 years to school, and at the end of 8 years, there is a reward. You can start practicing, and there is a monetary reward that's ascribed to it. Can you bring in $250,000 a year? How about medical profession. Okay, you're going to amass loans, sure. There's a reason why you amass those loans. You go to med school and everything, because within the next few years after you become a physician, there is a monetary reward to it. Okay, can we compete in those terms too? So we offer our children, we say that, okay, to become a priest, look, we have a plan for you. There is a good compensation package. And in that compensation package, you could find not only your income, you could find your housing, and you could find your health insurance, and you can find a retirement plan. Now we are competing, okay? But in so doing, what happens all of a sudden? All of a sudden, those material items become a focus rather than paying the individual his worth. A laborer is worthy of his pay, right? All of a sudden that pay becomes the focus. And we start saying, okay, well look, you have an incentive here. That's not the incentive for a priest. It shouldn't be. It should not be. That should not be the incentive for a priest. It should be a perk. It should be something that we, as people, say, okay, thank you for doing your work. Here's something that we want to offer you. But that can't be the incentive for the individual. And yet, so many times we see that that's what happens. And so, here's the problem of reconciliation. You've got this beautiful tradition, which we call the church, which we call Christianity, which we call bringing that light to the people. We talk about the church being the kingdom of God here on earth, and passing along that message of hope, of understanding, of love, something that I believe the Armenian Church has done through the centuries. But somewhere along the way, we've gotten corrupted because we've allowed the means by which we get there to overtake the ends to which they serve. So all of a sudden, we're serving the means. We're serving that big bridge rather than understanding that that bridge has an intention to get us from here, from point A to point B. In other words, from our state of being today as humans to a divine state where we can understand the beauty of God's love and beauty of God's plan in our life. And that's a delicate balance. That's the one that I struggle with every single day of my life. And I go to a diocesan assembly meeting today, and I look forward to sharing some thoughts with you tomorrow, because I usually fill up quite a bit of notebooks with this kind of stuff as I'm sitting there and, I don't want to say absorbing, listening to these meetings.
Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Okay, after everything I spoke about today, I'm glad that Susie had her first chance to tell you that we do need money to make this show work. If you believe in what we're doing over here, again, what's important, we need to stay clear. What's important is getting this message out. And I want to thank a very, very generous donor who just made a sizable donation so that we can get a little bit of new equipment. But we're always looking for new equipment and means by which we can continue this broadcast. Susie told you, easiest way is get out there, press the donate button. Even more important, keep your prayers Keep us in your prayers. Keep your prayers going for epostle.net, for myself, for the beautiful staff that we have, every one of them who works on putting this together. We're going to be excelling in his shoes in the next few weeks. I'm really happy that we're making some strides in that direction, and I hope that we'll have a beautiful announcement by the end of May. As far as a launching for In His Shoes. We're going to be going to Armenia as well and continuing what we're calling the 100-year journey, something else. So a lot of exciting things. So I want you to get involved any way that you can. Your donations are always, always appreciated over here. Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. I'm going to go out to the meetings. I know. I'm going to get out there and make the best of this day. I need your prayers for that, too. I want to thank you for joining us, and thank you for being with us. During the week, please connect with us. I'm on Facebook, as well as Epostle is on Facebook. In His Shoes is on Facebook. Susie's on Facebook. Everybody, the whole Ken's on Facebook. We got to get him back in over here, okay? I need him. You probably could tell a little bit of the quality distortion and maybe the extra pops and whistles in today's broadcast. But I'm trying my best, Ken, and thank you for putting this all together. Hey, for the wonderful team who brought you today's show, this is Father Voskin thanking you for joining us, and I hope it was a pleasure listening to us as much as it was a pleasure producing today's show. Keep us in your prayers. For Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, Lahaira Webman, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Enjoyed and been blessed by this edition of The Next Step with Father Voskin. We invite you to join us every week for our regular broadcast. This, as well as all other episodes of The Next Step, are available for streaming and download at epostle.net. In addition, you can stream, download, or subscribe at Apple's iTunes Store, Blueberry, and Stitcher Radio, or try our smartphone app. New episodes are available globally every Thursday. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. We invite you to point your web browser to epostle.net, where you can enter your email address to have The Next Step delivered directly to your inbox. For the production crew and all the members of In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your broadcast out.